Hello.
Good Friday to you.
How are you?
Hey.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very good.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear
Episode
me?
nine.
All right. Yeah, you can.
We can hear
I hear
you.
you.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear you.
Oh,
And
okay.
not only do we hear you, you sound marvelous.
Wow.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Speaking of marvelous, wow, some of your most recent tracks.
Oh, thanks, bro. Thank you.
For
Dude.
real.
Just having some fun, you know?
Dude, well, it's sounding amazing.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing.
Agreed. 100%. I'm excited.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Intro. This is episode nine, and today we're gathered here today to
Dearly beloved.
Dearly beloved.
Yep.
True love.
Yeah.
Marriage is what brings us together today. No, new episode, and I've gotten some kudos from our last episode, which was me kind of like giving you guys a topic, and then we had to kind of like think through and give our answers. So I figure let's do that again.
All right.
Okay.
I hear a dog.
at your house or where?
Your house.
Oh, no. You hear a contractor in the basement banging away. He is doing some framing. And
awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was either a dog or you were playing video games, one of those. But like, okay.
Nope.
Hammer time. Okay, so quick topic. All right. It's actually three parts. So
It's
a three-parter.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Before I do that.
A trilogy. Yep.
So here's, I wanted to let everybody know that I told you guys earlier via text that I would give you a topic.
Yeah.
And these are the topics that you guys guessed. Collective bargaining agreements. Tortoise constipation, which has to now be a topic in the future, Derek. Sorry.
Oh yeah, it's been quite a day, let me tell you.
I'll bet. So, maybe it's not just dog that you hear barking. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, the Middle East peace process.
That's a big one.
Yes, it's a big one. That would take more than 30 minutes.
Yep.
Or the final one was crunchy or creamy, and it turns out none of those topics were right. So here's the topic: three parter, right? First part is, what's the very first concert you remember going to? The first show.
Ooh.
The second one is, what's your very favorite show of all time? And then the third part of that is why? Why was it your favorite? So first concert, like,
okay,
I'm
writing this down. First concert. Yep.
Favorite concert ever.
Favorite concert, okay.
And then, why was it your favorite?
Okay. Ever.
Yep.
And why? Okay.
Yes.
Written down. All right.
So I'm spinning a wheel right now to see who goes first, and it's Jeff.
It's me.
All right.
That's it's a really short wheel.
Tiny concert wheel.
I'm trying to remember what my first concert was. I'm going to say it was what was the first concert I went to? You know what I think it was? It's a toss-up. I can't remember for sure, but it was either Mylon Lefebvre and Broken Heart.
Okay.
Way back in the day.
Love God, and Hate Sin.
That's it. And yep. I had the sheep in wolves clothing, and I had I bought the 3/4-inch baseball sleeve, white and red, cracked sky. That, you know, so it was either that.
And don't tell me you still have it.
No, I don't. But if I did, I wish I did, because that would be like band photo material for sure. So I no, I was either that one or it was Michael W. Smith on the Friends tour.
Oh my goodness!
Back in '85.
Wow!
So,
oh my goodness! That's pretty epic, man.
Actually, so that was old. And then those were my brother was really into a lot of Christian music back in the day, which has really got what kind of spurred a lot of where I started listening to music was with him. And then with my dad, we'd roll around in the car, and he was not into Christian music, and so that's where I got a lot of the Led Zeppelin and all that other stuff from. So
what was that big What's that big Friends song? I'm trying to remember that damn song because I used to time because it kind of has like a nasally overtone to it.
Yes. Yes, it does.
That's the one. So yeah, Friends. I would say that was probably the first one. My favorite show is a toss-up because I've seen a lot of really great shows, but I would say again that's also a tie.
Okay.
If I had to pick one, just a couple really quick. I would say one, and I don't know if I went to this with you, Derek, but did we go together to go see Rob Zombie, Monster Magnet,
oh, dude, that's
and Fear Factory? Did you and I see that show together? Or
you know I think that was going to be my concert that I was going to mention, and that I believe I forgot who I was attending it with. It was you, bro. Yeah,
that's I thought it was you, and we because yeah. I remember we went and mm-hmm. it was and so the for that I would say it's a toss up between that one, but I'll finish the why on that one first. But it was because yeah. well, first of all, Rob Zombie. I mean, he's just a killer showman,
right?
And just the idea, like the band was great. He was killer, but it was just it was like an event. Like he had the whole. I remember he had that like big like castle on stage,
mm-hmm.
and he got it was all theatrics. And I mean, and it started out with like the devil comes out and he's enormous and he comes out on stage.
He's still doing that. He's still doing all that stuff.
Oh my god, that was freaking amazing! And then they went into Super Beast, and then as soon as he's going sing, he jumps out from like underneath the devil and he comes in behind him and just starts and he gets on stage. Oh my gosh, I lost it. It was just freaking awesome. Amazing. Yeah. But so yeah, it's either a toss up between that show and I also saw in Toronto I saw Deftones.
Oh wow.
With and at the time it was Incubus open for them and Taproot.
Okay.
That was great. Like they were just they were on stage and the stage was huge and I mean it's Deftones so they were just killer and they were but it was cool because they were on like the stage was so big but they were so separated like one like left to right they had one guitar player on one side another guitar player you know or the you know Chi was way on the other end and it was just huge and all they had really for a stage show was it was a White Pony tour and they had just that White Pony that's on the album cover and it was all in like these little like a string lights kind of thing that then that's all it was and they just went up there and it their show was like sort of the opposite it was so minimalist but they were just killer.
I think I saw that tour. I did see that tour and they tore it apart.
Yeah, so that was I would say in a bloody great big nutshell that's it I would say there.
Wow,
that's my
answer. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Spin that wheel.
Spin the wheel. The wheel is spinning, and you're not going to believe who it landed on. Derek.
Oh, boy. First show is probably – oh, man. It had to be either Whiteheart or Petra, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to a lot of those type of youth group type of concerts. You know, it was a group thing.
Yep.
And I know I remember the Back to the Streets show, Back to the Streets tour. I saw that one. What was the one before that? Do you guys remember? By chance? No.
No.
Was it Beat the System?
Oh, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But anyway, it was either them or one of the Whiteheart tours.
Okay.
But. So yeah, one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple Whiteheart tracks that I really liked. I remember. I can't remember what it was now, but I remember really liking that
vibe. No, they were good. They were good, man.
Yeah.
I can't slam Whiteheart too bad. They had some pretty they have songs to this day that still ramble around in my head. God Makes Convertibles, Fly Eagle Fly. Those great hits that we all remember.
those those timeless classics.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Who could forget these timeless classics?
So it's probably one of those two bands. Now, yeah, it had to be one of those two bands, I think. As far as my favorite show, again, the one that sticks in my head throughout, I don't know how many years it's been now, 25 years. It's still that Rob Zombie Hellbilly Deluxe tour show.
that was so good.
At the State Theater.
Yeah, that's where I think I probably still have that concert ticket kicking around somewhere in my big pile of crap that I lug from home to home whenever I move. But yeah, that, yeah,
I mean,
dude, that
yeah,
show.
I've seen a lot of great shows, you know, Chevelle, the Pet, you know, Def Leppard, Chevelle, Deftones, Stryper when I was a teenager was probably the loudest show I've ever seen when I saw the Yellow and Black Attack tour. Or Soldiers Under Command tour. That was still probably the loudest show ever. but yeah, that Zombie show was just ridiculous. Yeah, he's an incredible showman. Great theatrics on stage. I'll never forget the giant Satan and giant whatever else is on stage. And he's still doing that stuff. I just saw him a few years ago with Korn. Or no, 2 years ago I saw him in Austin. And
yeah, he's still doing that.
Ass. Yeah, still kicking ass, man.
Wow, that I'd go see him again.
I mean, a lot of people
any day of the week
trash his music and his newest music and this and that. But
why do they trash it?
Well, they don't like it as much, or you know,
I didn't know.
Some of his I liked his last two albums. I thought were I haven't heard his last one, but the one before that I liked a lot. No, he hasn't had the hits like he did, you know, in the 90s so much, but.
Gotcha.
But as long as he keeps on performing like that, I don't think he'll have a problem, you know, touring and doing live shows. So.
Yeah. I mean, in a day and age when I would think it's tough to get people to actually get out of their house and go to see a live show. You know, he's definitely, he's ones that you definitely want to get your butt out the door and get in the car and go to.
Yeah. Go I mean, to, even though he's see. Kind of, he's kind of a one dimensional vocalist.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's still, they're still entertaining as hell. And mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. And it was both shows are great.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that one's one, that's the one that sticks in my brain, you know, all these years.
And didn't Fear Factory open the whole night?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They blew me away that night too. Just watching.
Really?
I found that
I forgot they even opened. Just because zombie
apocalypse. That was, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what I was more impressed by was the fact that when I saw Fear Factory, Burton Bell.
Yeah.
He got up there and he would do the Fear Factory thing and he'd scream and do his whatever. And then he'd go, and then his choruses would be all melodic and it was right on. And they sounded like the record. Like it was amazing. And that,
you know,
that, I was interested in that.
Do you know what tour that was or what record that was?
Demanufactured
or something? No, it wasn't.
It was the one with, that's got, what's the name of that? I could look it up, but I think it's I think Lynchpin was on that one I can look it up real quick. Anyway,
no,
sorry,
right.
But
no,
why,
right.
why was
I
it?
Remember it was, no, I remember them, but it was, you know, when I was watching Fear Factory, it's like, wow, this is great. And then Zombie came on and with his castle props and flames and
yeah, it was obsolete.
That was just,
way.
Yeah.
It was the obsolete.
And his bass player and his guitar player were like the exact same size, like two like little midget, you know, trolls. One guy's name is Blasco, I think, and he's still on the scene. But I remember the two guys are exactly the same, which is really cool, kind of symmetrical on stage, and the bass player and the guitar player, and it was just really really awesome.
Yeah, man.
So, and then, like you said, at the end, it was like one big party. You had Satan coming out, and he had all these other characters coming out on stage, and it was just really, really weird.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So I do want to make it clear for everybody who's listening that for both of you, the why of the best show you've been to is a very big Satan. So we might need to work that into our show.
Well, you just can't forget that thing, man.
That's all. Yeah, just teasing. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah. So, okay.
And what was the third part of that? Was
why? Already why? But you already kind of nailed that. Yeah,
we did that. Yeah, we went over that.
We covered that. Yeah,
we beat that. We beat that horse, buddy. We killed it.
Bam. All right. So my turn. So there's a there's a bit of overlap, as you can imagine. But my first concert that I remember actually going, like getting tickets and going to the show, was also Petra.
Awesome.
They were in.
Actually, there's redemption. Just hang tight, because this is an interesting story.
Bob, what was his name?
Bob,
the guitar player.
Hartman. Okay. Yeah. My sister was super into Petra, and I think it was her 16th birthday, or maybe it was mine. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And she, for my gift, she sent, you know, she took me to see them at the Peoria Civic Center here in town, or near where I am. And an artist named Morgan Cryer opened for them. You remember Morgan Cryer?
Yeah. I do. Okay. I don't know why, but I do. Yes.
So here's an interesting thing. And I didn't make the connection until about about 3 years later. Morgan Cryer was a solo artist, but he had a trio behind him on stage as his backup band. And you want to take a guess at who the trio was?
King's X.
Yep.
Dude, 100%. That is incredible.
And I remember that show because I was, and you can ask my sister, I was way into Morgan Cryer after that show because of King's X.
Oh, wow.
At the end of Morgan's set, last song, I can't remember what it was, but he went over to, I want to say, Doug, maybe. And I think, I can't remember which one it was now, if it was Ty or Doug, but one of them, like, put Morgan up on their shoulders while they're playing their guitar, and he's on their shoulders like singing. And when you're 16 and you see that on a stage, you're just like, wow. So anyway,
what is this? That's cool.
I mean, and Petra was entertaining. That was back when they had their first singer, Greg Voles. But an interesting factoid, that band formed not too far from where I am, somewhere around South Pekin, actually.
Nice.
But anyway, so that was the first one. Beat the System, I think, maybe, was probably the tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I probably saw that then. Was that Greg X Volts then, or was that Schlitt?
I'm pretty sure that was Volts, yep.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
Doesn't really
matter. No, I just don't remember what. I'm trying to remember if I actually saw Greg X Volts. But anyways.
I want to say Schlitt, honestly, I want to say he came in like a couple years later, I think. So, okay, so next thing. favorite show for me is just like you guys, because I've been to many and it gets really hard for me. But I think I can break it down to a couple as well. I've been to see U2 now about 3 times. And
nice.
There's something that I so connect with them. Edge has been one of my biggest influences as a guitarist and a songwriter. Bono has been one of my biggest influences in terms of lyric writing. And I've always liked the fact that those guys can figure out a way to take what's going on in the world and I don't know, bring like some truths to it and package that up in a song and sell it, you know, and both make it sound good. And now I know on the radio, they don't make you like grit your teeth and, you know, pound your dashboard. And so I have other artists that I like for that kind of thing. Right, but I tell you what, live, because they've been going now 40 years, when they cut into like Where the Streets Have No Name or, mm-hmm. Sunday Bloody Sunday, or last year we went to see the Joshua Tree tour.
Oh man, I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, me too.
So
it was really.
We went to see it twice. We went to Chicago, and I was way up in the, we had nosebleed seats at Soldier Stadium.
Wow.
Which was cool because they had a huge, beautiful, video, accompaniment with their entire set, which would have floored you guys. So you still were entertained no matter where you were, but then saw them again in Indianapolis. And this time I said, I want to see them again and I want to be on the floor because I want to be near this. So we went to see them in Indianapolis, same thing on the floor, not far, you know, from the band, but far enough back that you could take in their whole video screen, which was massive. And it's just, there's something about their shows that it's like 80,000 people singing along, and it feels, you know, more like church than I think I've ever experienced. So
cool.
Yeah, awesome. It's cool. Now, I will say that when I was thinking this through, I had some pretty close runners up, and it was almost the exact opposite, because I've seen a couple of really great club shows in the last couple of years with my son Shay. Fanagram being one of those, and Jack Garrett probably being one of those. And I think his show, honestly, was probably... if he comes to Austin, dude, you have to go see him. He's a one-man show, right now anyway, and he plays guitar. He's a virtuoso. He sings. He's a great lyricist. He plays keyboards as a virtuoso. He plays drums as a virtuoso.
That is nuts.
There's many songs, you guys, where he does all of those in that song.
That's nuts.
Oh, sweet.
Okay. And I'm telling you, when he does turn around and pick up both drumsticks and starts wailing on his like stand up kit, it just wants to blow out of your chest. It's just brilliant. He's very good. He's a great songwriter. I can't recommend him enough. Shay actually turned me on to him, and here's how it happened. He found an artist called Banks.
Yeah.
And then he started working on a set list of similar artists. And so this song came up called Chemical by Jack Garrett. And I loved Chemical. And then I took it upon myself. Shay didn't even do this, but I took it upon myself to go listen to his entire record. And I told Shay, like, you need to listen to this whole thing. And I went out immediately to the website and like tried to find where he's playing. He moved from England to Chicago. So we've run up to Chicago a few times to see him play.
That's cool.
And you,
in like these small clubs and stuff. And
it's if we're gonna do live, that's what I want to do, because the club is just intimate. It's where it's at. People are close to you, and yet you can fill the room with so much sound. And you know, you got the subs. You got the. It's just brilliant. I like the intimacy, but I also like that it's just big enough that you can have 300-400 people in there. You know what I mean? But yeah, he's super humble, and he is a great showman, and he will start off a song by firing off triggers, and then he'll play keyboards with his left hand. He'll have a drumstick in his right, and he's playing along on like triggers pads.
Oh man.
And then he'll flip his guitar out in front of him and play along, and then he'll turn around and be playing drums. And I'll try to find the best. If you find
YouTube clip.
Yeah, I'll find the best YouTube clip and send it to you guys. But if you find the song called Fire, that's when that's one that he really takes off on at the end with the drums. Now he has built his set over time. So if you go back like a couple of years to see his live set, you won't see the full stand-up drum kit to his right. But starting early last spring, he added that, and man, it's phenomenal. You wouldn't think that going to see one guy would be interesting, but
yeah,
but this guy pulls it off, and he pulls it off really well. He uses a lot of technology.
Sure. So, well, I would think you'd have to, but
yeah, right.
Yeah. But still.
But my goodness, it's entertaining. So, you know, my only problem is if he ever does say, "Hey, I'm looking for a guitarist," I might have to try out. Just saying, but that's okay. I just want to throw that out there. No, but I still have to say you two, just because they've been a part of my, they've been such an influential band in my life. Yeah, for so long. I mean, I'm talking. '88. I really liked Pride in the Name of Love, but I didn't really know what I was. I just liked that single. But then when they came out with Joshua Tree,
oh man,
I was just like, yeah, you know,
yeah.
I really regret not seeing the Zooropa tour. Did you see that
too?
One?
No. I didn't. I was foolish. I didn't see them until they did their 360.
I was a fool.
The 360 tour, let me think. That was 2008, 2009. I can't remember what they were supporting. which album they were supporting. That might have been No Line on the Horizon, maybe. But but anyway, I've kind of decided that anytime they come out, I'm going to go see them again, because now they are touring this summer, their new record. But I did see them twice last year, so I'm not probably going to go. But you know, they've been going 40 years, so at some point
they had that. They had that huge, that other huge tour. I think it was the 360 tour. Or
that's
something.
The one I went to. Yeah.
Yeah. And that guy Ryan, I know he went to it a couple times, I think.
Oh, that guy Ryan, yeah.
Yep.
I will say this. I wish I would have seen a different leg of that tour, because, and don't get me wrong, I like Snow Patrol, but they opened. But on the rest of that tour, they had Muse, who I would love.
Oh, man.
That's a nice.
Oh, yeah. See, now, that must have been the same tour, because that's the tour I saw them on with Snow Patrol opened, and they were fine. You know, that's cool and all, like, but the tour itself, I mean, that's another.
I've never heard of them. I have no idea what they sound like. But I know Muse kicks ass live. Oh, I've seen some of their live footage. Dude. I know they're great.
So they're on the top of. I would say they're in my top five to go see is Muse for sure. I want to see them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Snow Patrol has some great songs. And
there's some hooky. I don't want to say top 40 rock, but that type of thing. I feel like you'd see it on Grey's Anatomy. You know,
I was just gonna say I would kind of.
Oh,
you could kind of put them in the same vein as like a Coldplay, kind of in that.
Yeah.
Indie pop.
Adult.
Yeah.
What's he? Yeah. AA. Whatever.
Yeah.
Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
They had a song that was like really big. I think it was called Chasing Cars, and I think that was kind of their big hit. Okay.
Anyway, so yes,
well, on Spotify, Jack Garrett has a lot more followers than Michael Smith. So,
well, that must
just so you guys
know. That's saying something right there.
Mm-hmm.
Thing about Jack Garrett is he works really hard. He plays out. And he keeps moving. He plays out a lot. And like I said, Shay turned me on to him, but he has since become kind of a thing that Shay and I have to rally around together. And
cool.
Such a gifted artist. Awesome. I can't wait till he's quiet right now, which makes me think he's writing and recording. So I'm hoping to go.
I think it's really cool, man, that you.
Interesting, though. You there?
Yeah, I hear. Do you hear me?
I do hear you.
Yeah. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I hear you.
Like I lost you for a second there.
Yeah, I did too. It's interesting though. If it would be fascinating to, I mean, I can't even do this for myself, let alone the three of us. But like, to figure out how many shows we've all seen collectively, and then we've just selected,
Oh,
big,
yeah.
Big Demon on stage and you too. <That's> a little bit of a contrast.
A little bit, yeah.
I just thought of that, but
yeah, that is true.
Well, cool.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So
awesome, man.
So let's wrap up this way. What you guys got going this weekend? Anything groovy?
Well, we're still trying to, as you can hear, sort of in the background, or maybe not here at the moment. The contractors are still here, so they're finishing off the whole basement works, which includes, which is actually kind of cool. I think this weekend we're going to spend a bit of time trying to figure out. You still there?
I am. Yes.
All right. trying to figure out my vocal booth. We're building.
Hello?
Building a vocal booth in the.
Nice.
That's going to be kind of cool. I'm looking forward to that. And but trying to figure out how one does that, you know, like the room where it's a room in a room and everything's all decoupled and, you know, so that whole thing. So we're doing that's this weekend is kind of getting some of that in. And then, so that and
you're trying to do a voiceover booth.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a real one. And we've done some consulting with I can stand here and stand in front of a microphone and read. But it's another story to actually figure out how one does the physics of that and whatever. So I've actually reached out to Joel from 1000 Foot Crutch, and he's got his studio in Nashville, and was like, dude, how do I do this? And so he's been a great resource, super helpful. And you know, anything you need, give me a call. Cool. So it was me and the contractor and Joel on the phone today, trying to figure out how in the heck we do doors and you know, all that kind of stuff. So that is a really long answer that nobody wanted to hear.
Did you say? Did you settle on a mic? Have you picked
the
mic yet?
My mic is either at the moment going to be the one that you have.
Okay.
The other thing I'm interested in hearing would be is that I have a, for my interface, I have an Antelope Zen Studio, and Antelope just came out with this new, it's like a modeling
microphones system,
and it looks pretty sweet. So I'm interested to see how that all pans out. So in answer to your question, at the moment, the one you sent me is the front runner, for sure.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Derek?
I think I'm going to try. I've got work scheduled as usual, but in my downtime, I'm going to really try to. I got these crash bars from the motorcycle. I've been trying to get them on for a few weeks now, and I finally got a scissor lift to lift up my bike. All right, you know, I got a jack to lift up my bike, and now I got a wheel chock. I haven't tried out yet to stabilize the motorcycle as I attempt to remove the radiator and throw these crash bars in there.
Nice.
So that's what I'm trying to do, I think, this weekend.
Awesome, dude.
Sounds like a good plan.
Have you been have you been back on it since you went down, or
one time?
Okay.
Yeah, just once. I also got some handlebars that I'm trying to put on there too. So I've got a few different projects on there, but
nice.
I'm not scared to ride it. I just want to try to keep my skin and
skin's good.
Yep.
And try to approach it a little bit safer as I'm still learning and getting better.
Yes.
Cause I kind of got a big bike cause everybody told me, you know, don't get a small bike. So, you know, you're going to want to get a big bike. So I was like, well, I don't want to be able to deal with all that hassle. So I just got right into a bike to fit myself. But it's, you know, it's a little heavier and harder to control than a smaller bike, obviously.
Oh yeah, sure. But you've got a cruiser though, right? Like, so you're a little bit closer to the ground. And
yes,
okay, yeah. That's helpful. Mm-hmm. That's good.
It is.
I think it is. I mean, I find that like, especially when it gets heavy.
Yeah, your bike's like a cafe cruise.
Sort of.
Racer,
yeah,
right?
Sort of. It's a vintage. Kind of... It would have been. It's like 40 years old, but it's a it's a vintage bike, and it's.
I love that bike.
Thanks, man. And it, but it's funny because it's a 1000, but it's not and everybody kept saying like, yo, man, this thing's
1000 cc's.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, 1000 cc. Okay. And they're like, pretty good size. And they're like, man, you know, better be careful. This, you know, the Widowmaker. This thing, whatever. And I got on it, and I was like, okay, here we go. And it really wasn't. I'm like, this is it. This is exciting as it gets. And so some of the guys that I talked to older riders, that they're like, well, dude, you know, back 40 years ago, yeah, this thing was, you know, murderous. Now it's nothing compared you know, anything. And so having said all that, it's not a really. It maybe weighs 500 pounds, you know, and.
Lyndon, you didn't know this, but a reason I have a motorcycle is because of Jeff. I saw his shiny red Kawasaki on Facebook.
Is that true? Really?
That's a true story, dude. Yeah, you're probably what pushed me over the edge to get a bike,
dude. I didn't know that.
Within days. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
you're the reason
Jeff's got a bike.
You're the reason.
Why don't
he
I
has
have a bike?
Scars on his forearm, dude.
You're the reason for the season. Yeah.
Thanks for ripping off Derek's skin. Good friend, you jackass.
Yeah. So, that was a huge motivation.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, there we go.
Yep.
I'm touched.
There you go. I'm touched. So
anyway, how about you?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, you too, man.
What are you doing, Lyndon?
Oh, what am I doing?
You're too good.
Yeah, what are you doing this weekend? Yeah, I do.
Believe it or not, I'm also protecting my skin this weekend. And I'm
moisturizing and
yeah. No, just doing some deep dive. There's some other writing that I think I need to start doing. Not music writing, but actual like get some thoughts out kind of writing. My cool. daughter is
like a blog or a book. Just personal diary.
It'll be diaries, and then I have to make considerations towards, does that become a blog or a book or a movie, or maybe it's a backdrop to Rob Zombie's next tour. I don't know. and then Shanna moved to Michigan in April last year. And so we used to go on dates once a week, and that's when I would learn about things in her world, right? So
yep.
Because of Anchor, I thought, you know what, this would be a cool thing I could do. I could like call her, find out something about in her world and like podcast it. So her boyfriends and she both are into esports, and that's a new hot thing, and I don't know much about it. And so I said, let's call each other once a week and talk about esports, and you can school me on what it is and how it works and all the things. And we're going to put it on Anchor. So I think Sunday night we're going to record a conversation and have a podcast about esports. Esports for noobs. So,
that is cool. Well, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's literally video gaming, but they get together in an arena, and I mean thousands and thousands of people show up, and they have teams. There's the Houston Outlaws, and
really,
yeah. I only know that one because that happens to be their favorite team. So don't ask me any other team names. but yeah, it's a real thing. I mean, it's becoming an organized sport, a real thing. So I don't know much about it, and so you guys could you guys could listen in and learn about esports.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's cool, man.
We have an audience of two. All right.
you got a single step. The journey starts with a single step. That's good.
Right. That's right. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I've also, because of our conversations, guys, I've been thinking a lot about like reflecting on how I got to where I am today in terms of like, why do I write the music that I write and what influences that? And I just think that's kind of cool. I know it could seem a little kooky, but I've been going way back in my mind and trying to think, okay, what are the first songs I remember and why do I remember them? And so I'm gonna actually probably put that on Anchor as well. Like, for example, the first song I remember absolutely standing out to me was "Don't Bring Me Down" by ELO.
And
I can tell you why that stands out to me, but you'll have to wait till the first episode comes out. So
awesome.
So yeah. Looks like we lost Derek. So
I just got a text there.
Yeah. He's probably got to go anyway. But
okay,
we'll wrap this anyway because I wanted to keep it around 30 and that's cool.
We're absolutely. Yeah.
All right, dude. It's good hearing your voice. Have a great
you
weekend.
You too, buddy. All right, you too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.